You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Making waves.
Welcome, everyone, to Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast. This is episode 30. My name is Justin. I'm here with my host, Chad. Say
hello.
Hey, Chad.
There you go.
And tonight, guys, is a real special one for us because now we're going to get a little bit more of the inner workings of how Shiprock works and with one of the people who's super essential to what it is what we do and how he captures the experience for you guys. And then, you know, we can relive it for the year after until we go on the next cruise. So please, without further ado, welcome Chris Bradshaw. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well, man. You know what? This is really, we're actually really stoked about this one because a lot of people just don't know all of the chaos that goes on behind the scenes. So hopefully we can kind of enlighten them a little bit. They see us, but they just never know what's going on. Anyway, Chris, briefly, I'll explain to people what you do. You are the video and photography, basically, call me director, manager, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, sure. You head up our video and photography department for the cruise, and you and your team basically shoot this entire thing from morning to night. 18 to 20 hour work days are not uncommon. And then we get to basically live through your photos and obviously your videos and then the short films we show during the next 12 months to get us ready for the next cruise and just keep people excited and stoked about it. So it's really a pleasure because we have a lot of questions for you, man.
And dare I say that, Chris, I think that you single-handedly have brought sexy back as well, because I haven't seen you in a long time. And, on top of that long list of awesomeness, the sexiness is also there.
Yes, because I need to explain this, because what Chad's talking about is that eventually this video will be available for public viewing. Is Chris's hair is like basically if angel wings were painted the color of honey. That's basically what Chris's hair is.
Very Thor-like.
I mean, I got a shit ton of hair, but I'm in Jealousville right now. So this is Jesus. I don't even want to look at you anymore. I'm looking at the fucking wall.
He's coming.
I think the only person that's jealous is me. Only people that should be jealous are Al and I. And I don't know if you know this or not, but for the first time, 30 episodes in, and we have the captain on the show too. So it's a real
Yes, welcome everyone. I didn't want to bring that up just yet, but yes, Alan. Well, thank you so much for being part of this.
I had heard of this amazing person named Chris Bradshaw, and my interest was piqued, and so I wanted to come on here. And he is straight from Valhalla.
This kindness and attention. I love it.
I wanted to come on this one because Chris is truly an integral part of our team, part of our Aspore family, and does just ridiculous great work for us and the amount of hours that he and his team put in. And I figured I would show my face for this one.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Well, Chris, I think the way to start, man, is you're working on, I guess this can be your 10th year coming up in 2022. Let me ask you, when you first got started and you came on board and you were somewhat, I can't remember if you had a team or not, or if it was just kind of you.
Yeah. When I came on, mm-hmm. Just for photo.
Yeah. So when you came on, when you got on, and we went to a bigger boat at that point, we became a full size, we were a full size ship at that point and everything. Were you kind of going, what did I get myself into?
No. we were still a half.
Oh, yeah. Were we a half? Okay.
For 2011.
Hey, that's my old mind.
That's
so
right.
I apologize. That's right.
No, I get it. Sometimes years morph together and you got to sort them out.
Okay, we were still a half. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we were still a half. But I mean, I was not familiar. I had been shooting shows. I was shooting concerts for a daily newspaper for a year and a half at that point. And really never, I had heard of a rock cruise, like that it existed. But I had no idea what it would be like. When I thought about it, that first one which is 2011, that was in some ways the easiest one because I had no idea what was going to happen. I just brought all my gear, showed up, and just never stopped moving. And I did not get a lot of sleep at all. I mean, I had it, my evil plan was, let me come on, I'll bust my ass and hopefully get asked back. That was the plan. But the first one, I had no idea what was like. I was just running around and there's this happening, then that happening. And because I had no idea what to expect, it was a wild time. It was so different.
Yeah. And, but it was a little bit of a baptism by fire for you too, because I mean, you really did get thrust into it that first year. And I will say this. Yeah. You know, I think of Chris as the, I'm old and I'm totally spacing the name. What's the John Wick? He's the John Wick of photographers. Like Wick has got like guns and knives and things stashed all over his body.
Same body count.
And when Chris shows up, he has this entire full body, like bat suit utility belt thing going on with like cameras and lights and meters. And I mean, I don't know how he walks around with it. He might as well be in the military carrying like a 150 pound rucksack or something.
Gosh,
I mean, he reminds me
of Inspector Deck.
Yeah, he's not only racing around the ship taking pictures and video,
and bumping into ship rockers along the way. Which I'm so sorry, ship rockers.
Lugging all of this stuff around all at once. you were amazing that first year, and the quality of your pictures was such that I wasn't even about to not ask you back. And and I loved
thank
it.
Thank you.
I loved that it's grown into into video as well.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna bring up, and now let's come 10 years forward and you've got a team, but that having a team hasn't slowed down your be able to give you a chance to breathe, that you guys go just as hard as when you were just kind of a one-man show. Because there's just so much to navigate, because the ship itself, you're navigating that, which I want to get to here shortly, and how the hell you get from end to end in about 90 seconds. I've timed you one time.
Tunnels.
And I'm curious with your team, when you and your team that are shooting basically photo, video, and then editing afterwards, after it's all said and done, you're like you're on tour, you got to get in your bay and start editing. How do you go about assigning who's going to do what?
On the ship. As far as like daily, okay.
Yeah, like, hey, who's going to go do this? And how do you know what to cover?
Okay, so we usually meet up before ship rocked and talk about new ideas, no matter when we're starting. It's like, okay, so let's go over last year. What did we learn from that? What new ideas do we have to bring to this ship rocked? And we'll get, usually what I do, because we have that fortunate to have that big production office where we all have our computers and, we have our meetings and things like that. I have on a big table, I always bring these big blow ups of the schedule, and everyone's usually jealous of it because I have it laid across two big tables. And we'd make notes. We go, okay, we chunk it down. We make sure we know we have everything covered between the performances and the gatherings and the different activities. But it's important to, even though we have this huge sheet of paperwork, the schedule, it's like, you just deal with it chunk at a time. We're not shooting ship rocked on day one. We're shooting day one. and so we make sure we take notes to make sure we got of the footage we got. And that's the benefit of being able to shoot bands a second time. Mm. We might say, all right, let's, for the second show, let's do more telephoto to give it a different look rather than wide or get more crowd. Let's step back into the crowd and get more crowd on this performance. But really the benefit we have is having done it so often or so long. It's kind of a double-edged sword. So when you have experience, when you do something long enough, you get a comfort. You develop some confidence. So when the next Shiprock comes, okay, you've done it before. You recall that experience and that, you know, that confidence you have, but you don't want to be too comfortable. You know, when you're too comfortable, you can make mistakes. You can forget something. You can't walk in like, oh man, yeah, this is a piece of cake. We got this. And really anytime I'm shooting, I always remind myself that in a fun way. I just, you know, don't mess this up. You know, this would be a good time to not suck. Don't let this year be the year, you know? So we tease each other about it, but to keep it fun, but we always try to remind ourselves of the responsibility that we have.
Well, I will say this. There's a saying that Al from AskCore has that, and I'll probably botch it, but it's something along the lines of, you know, success is 90% showing up and giving a shit and the other 10% is hard work. And Chris puts 100% showing up and giving a shit and 100% hard work and 100%, you know, keeping it fresh. And so, I mean, that's fuzzy math, I know, but he, Chris is right. He doesn't get complacent and he really cares, about our community. He cares about what we provide to them following the cruise and whether it be photos or videos. And so it's, you know, and you and I, Chris, we have conversations before every cruise too, where we look back at what we have and I may have some silly idea, or sometimes we'll share other videos back and forth and go, oh, that's kind of cool.
For sure.
But he really does care, about this cruise, about our community of guests, about the quality of his work. And so, I mean, that's, and I will say, as far as his work area goes, yes, everyone is jealous of the photo video table, because when we're in the production office, he has his world set up before anybody else, long before even our side of things is set up. And he's got everything's labeled. He's got signs on the front of the tables. He's got like SIM card sections. It's like a warehouse on a table with like all these tape marks and squares. And he puts things here. And I mean, it's really impressive what he does in an amazing short period of time.
Yeah, anyone with OCD would have a flying, they'd go into a fit if they walked in there. It looks like he's got his whole arsenal of cameras and everything. So it's quite impressive. I always crack me up.
Well, I think that's a testament to how much he cares.
Absolutely.
He's really absolutely organized.
What I love about Chris, there's a lot of, Chris and I talk through the year. And so we're always just giving each other a call, but I'm so amused by Chris. We're jumping around in this conversation, but I'm always amused by Chris. Well, I see him running around the ship doing photo, doing video, whatever. And then we'll have like one of our excursions, like a pool, you know, pool party or whatever. And I'm walking up the pool and all of a sudden he just kind of emerges out of the deep in his like wetsuit and stuff. I'm like, oh, he's down there too, huh?
Have you ever seen the movie Mr. Like, Deeds? That reminds me. John Turturro's part, sneaky.
Yeah,
and there has to meet the sneakiness. Yeah, you totally 100% on the nose. I'm gonna let you finish, Justin, but I hadn't made note of it.
That's
no. Listen, man, Chris hustles harder, so it's crazy. But his whole team is that way too. They all kind of work off that same mindset. That Ed, everybody, the whole team works in that kind of demeanor. I think that's what they want to do. They've kind of picked this influence up from Chris on how much this means to not only us and to Alan and AskCore, but to the Shiprockers when they get home and they start seeing these photos and videos going, holy shit, how did they get, I get conversations all the time. Like, how did he get that shot? I'm like, don't ask me how he got it. Cause I know there's multiple arms going on and a lot of people shooting, but I'm like, he got a shot of on his way to like to see shoot a band and do video, but he also got a whole shot of like 20 Shiprockers doing different activities at that one time within a 30-second span. I'm like going, head on a swivel stuff.
I have a couple like rudimentary questions, because it brings what you're saying, you know, Justin, and what everybody's kind of commented on, Chris. And I've known you since Wilson started doing the ship in 2014, I think.
14.
Yep. And I want to get to that, because it not just Wilson, but my interaction with you. But first off, there's something that I think is important, whether you don't want to get nerdy with it or not. But I have to ask, so everybody knows, what drew you of all the art forms, or just in general, the like, how did you get photography as the bug that you wanted to, you know, to, or the itch you wanted to scratch? And why did you decide, what made you decide to keep moving forward once the art became commerce as well for yourself?
Wow. I've always loved photography, but never got into it. I would just always grab little junky cameras, like growing up, and get photos developed, but I never got into, like a real camera, detachable lenses. And, because it was just, it looked very involved, and it just kind of scared me.
Overwhelming.
In a way, to answer it one way is to say, what made me push through and pursue photography, there was also a love of live music there. And that goes back years. So that was laying there in the wait. But I finally decided to get like a real camera. And it wasn't until after digital cameras came out. So that was the new technology. And I said, you know what? I want to get a camera. And I didn't get it, this camera, until I was like 39. So, and this was in 2008. And, so I decided I'm going to get this camera. And one of the guys on my team, Nick, helped me buy it. He said, I'll help you buy it. What's your budget? Get this. It comes with a kit lens. And, so I finally decided to do it, like to get a camera. And I was like freaked out by this thing with all these buttons, and it's intimidating. I just wanted to learn it. So trying to plow ahead here. I remember Nick told me, because at the time I was just shooting outdoor stuff. I was walking around shooting, you know, whether it be a sunset or birds or anything outside at the beach or something. And he had told me, put your settings, leave your settings on this ISO that you with, which is speed of about 200. And just leave this on, this setting on aperture priority at about a 5.6. This is nerdy stuff, but basically he just said, leave it there, you'll be fine. But he told me that while we were out shooting outdoors one day. And, but I didn't realize, like, you got to change that constantly depending on light. Wasn't even thinking about that. And I get this idea because a friend of mine had this club in Fort Myers that national bands would come to. And I just thought to myself, that would be cool. Let me go try and shoot a band. And so I showed up with my camera and got in and started taking photos. And I kept looking down. I'm like, this looks terrible. And I'm just trying. It was a terrible experience. And like every now, I don't know how many photos I took, but every now and then I might get something that looked maybe okay, but it was basically, they were all blurry. I was just really, really disappointed. And I thought I bought the wrong camera. So I talked to Nick the next day, who knew I was going to shoot this band. He goes, hey man, how'd that go? I go, not good, man. He goes, what happened? I go, what's up with this camera that you told me to buy? Well, what happened? I'm like, it's all streaky and blurry and it just, it sucks. He goes, well, what'd you have your camera set at? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, your camera settings, your shutter speed, your ISO. I'm like, I had it where you told me to put it. You know, it's ISO 200, aperture priority 5.6. So basically, the camera was set to broad daylight, and at an aperture, it would the shutter would just stay open long enough to get enough light in, and then it would close. And it was just, so it was just horrendous. And he starts laughing his ass off. He's like, dude, it's not the camera. It's you. And so kind of a little long-winded story of that happened. And I was pissed. And I was determined to learn what I had to do better. And so we went over some settings and I'm like, when's the next show? And it wasn't for like another month or something. So it took a while, but every time I kept going back to this club, I just, you know, I'd make a little progress, which would make me get excited about getting even, trying to do even better. And so, and that back then it was just, I just wanted a nice, clean, decently lit shot. The whole rabbit hole of different lenses and composure and shot anticipation, that was something that just would come, you know, later on. But that's where it started. And but once I got going with it, I didn't want to stop.
Can I ask you a question before we keep going on this part? Because it sounds to me like by trial and error and your own perseverance, you decided that the art that you found, that you fell in love in love with visually, perfecting your version of it is what drove you to continue to do what you do. But subsequently, probably free concert tickets were also pretty nice once you were able to get that clean shot. And you're like, this is what I'm going to do because I saved some money. And
just for free concert tickets?
Literally all my friends from Ray, who's been on the ship, to yeah. Joe Gall, Camera Jesus, that are all work in this area. They all started doing exactly what you're doing. And it's kind of like the driver, right? You know, your love and obsession for some sort of other art form mixed with the multimedia. But that brings me up to a question I wanted to ask, because you said it right when you started. It's like, hey, how do you get your shit together? Justin asked, like before the ship starts, and you have a day where you get together and you talk about what happened last cruise and what you want to achieve this cruise. And every year, especially in your field, there's new tech, right? That comes out that just blows the fucking last year's tech. So is this something that like you're trying, and being on a ship and applying things like drones, not just to mention the laws that go along with things like that, but also the amount of money that you invest in lenses and so when you guys sit down, are you guys discussing how you're going to utilize in those conversations new tech, and what's some of your current favorites right now in that new tech area?
We have a variety of gear, we all do, we all pretty much are fans of using whatever gets the job done. Some of us have Canon cameras, Sony's are awesome. You know, as far as their the video capabilities, I have Sony as well. We pretty much just bring everything we have. I mean, or what's possible. I mean, especially if we're flying. So yeah. You have to have some boundaries as to like what's necessary. And we've got one of our guys, Patrick, shoots with a Red camera. We keep current with our gear, but I also use some cameras that I've had for 5 years, just because they still work, and it's just and that's kind of where I, a long time ago, I got in the habit of having multiple cameras that Alan was referring to, but it was so you can have a different lens on a different body. You're not switching on the fly. You just have it there. It's ready to go. You can go wide. You can go tight. You just have everything at your disposal. But after I've had the same team for a few years now, so we pretty much got our gear kind of game down as far as what we know we need.
What works, yeah.
Yeah, and we like to mix it up. Like we have some times when we'll throw one of our cameras on a Steadicam and have some nice smooth footage to go with the raucous bouncy footage. And
yeah. Well, it's cool to hear those trends. I just like to hear if your plans are. Like, are you going to use one of those Ricoh 360 cameras and get like the whole entire, you know, that sort of shit that comes out every year? You're just like, wow.
That's funny. Yeah, we did a 360 this year. Yeah, so we brought that and made a couple clips. It was the GoPro Max, the 360.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
we use it, and that's one of those looks where it's just fun to use every now and then. Just a real quick little drop it in there and then go back to like kind of normal footage.
Chris and I talk before each cruise, like we'll watch other concert festival recap videos, or we've even watched other cruise videos too. And there's always some silly effect or editing or whatever that goes on. And I think Chris and I are in agreement that a lot of times, well, it's like anything, you get too kitschy, or if you get too gimmicky, it, you know, like we've seen videos where it's just like all slow-mo all the time. And I sit there and I think, well, you're missing so much amazing footage by just having a handful of clips, like all really slow through the whole thing, which is great. But so I love how Chris mixes it up with the tricks and the editing and everything else. Chris, you mentioned several times the team. I know it's grown over the years, but I mean, how many are we now on team video photo?
This year we were six. And that was because we had been four the last couple years. Because it's hard, because I like to keep a really lean team, because it's a tough dilemma. Like I want us to get a lot of footage, but I also don't want to be in the way. I don't want it to be an eyesore and pull the ship rockers away from the magic and just have just cameras everywhere and people running all around. So I try to be mindful of letting them just have that connection with the bands. And, this year, and it's like Alan mentioned, we talked about it. I had an idea and I just felt like, okay, we've done this. And I was thinking about Shiprock 2020. I had this idea of wanting like a little doc crew, a little documentary crew. And because we were kind of maxed out, I felt we were maxed out as to what we could do with all of the coverage we were getting. But I wanted to hear more from shiprockers. I wanted them to just talk away. And when one of my main guys is trying to get from the deck to the theater to try to get him to go talk to someone, and it had them look into the camera, and it just, that wasn't going to work. And I'd be asking too much of them. And so I just thought it would be great to have a guy with a microphone and another camera, because you could, the person with the microphone can just be the kind of gatherer, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Because shiprockers are very approachable. You know, if you're walking down that promenade and there's always something happening. And fortunately, Alan was like, yeah, that sounds cool. You know, let's try that.
Yeah, we had talked about that for a while. I mean, I think we had done it a little bit in the past, but it was one thing that I felt like, it's one thing to cover live concerts. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many, and again, no dissing concert photographers, but how many of those up from the pit shots can you see? You know, and one thing you and I have always talked about is really trying to make sure that both in photo and video that we showcase what the cruise is really about, which is the guests and the vacation aspect of it. Yes, it's a music festival. Yes, there's that music part of it. And that's, I mean, obviously that's a big, huge part of it, but it's also a vacation. It's also a family gathering. And, you know, so I've always wanted to make sure we had that. And I'm glad that, you know, Chris agreed that approached me about this idea, because it's something that we had done a little bit of in the past, but
yeah,
felt like
and it worked. I mean, there were some things that we adjusted on the fly. Like we looked at some footage, we're like, you know, but that's part of it. Mm-hmm. It was just to have this two person crew just focusing on ship rockers going around with the mic, and whether like that was, and there'll be more content coming out in videos that you'll see more of that. But on this past one, which featured a lot of Bad Flower and Josh kind of running the ship cup segment, there was a bit of, you know, like talking to fans about a band. And it's just cool to hear that. And we would talk about, hey, wouldn't it be cool if like talk about one of the things that didn't turn out great, like it's probably would be funny to hear. I said, you know, it'd be cool. What if you go out on the deck during one of the, you know, the big shows? I said, don't interrupt a fan watching the band. Never do that. But if in between songs, if you can kind of get their attention, maybe run over and just kind of get a quick you know, review of the show or go over and go, hey, man. And so I was talking with them and I said, wouldn't it be cool if like a song ends and you run over to a fan and you're like, hey, who is this on stage right now? And they go, Oder Bridge. Yeah. And then cut. And the next song starts. Like, we're like, that would be so cool. They're like, yeah, yeah, let's try that. And so they come back to the production office later that night, go, oh, dude, you got to see this footage. And we watch this video. And you see they're walking over. They find a big Ultra Bridge fan just singing along, just so animated. And the song ends. And our guy goes over and goes, hey, man. And the guy's like, who's on stage right now? And he hands him the microphone and he points the microphone. He's like, what? Who's on stage right now? And he goes, and he points to this jumbo LED screen that says Alter Bridge. He's like, Alter Bridge? He goes, all right, man, cool. Have a good time.
See ya. Big gulps, eh? See you later.
We're just laughing our asses off because it's like, Chris, all right, mate, we might need to refine that idea a little.
Chris, I tell you, it's funny. Alan mentioned that really at the end of the day, this is about the ship rockers. And when we go into socials and we post some of your photos or videos in it, if it's ship rocker centric, that gets the most hits. That gets the most love. They love seeing the artist ones, but when they see themselves or their friends or their community, that's when they get really stoked and hyped about it. Because really, at the end of the day, that's, they want to see themselves having a great time. And that's what we're here to provide. One of the things I'm always impressed with is the work you guys do in post. And I don't want to get too nerdy, but the way you guys are able to sync some things, there's one that stands out. When we had Stone Sour, you had a scene where Corey was getting ready to go on a song. And you guys nailed it because we're playing a Storm Sour song as the bed. And he pops his collar at the same time as the song, kind of like there's a little moment and when the guitar riff hits and he pops the collar, I'm going, that was nails. Whoever edited that scene, I was like, that right there is magic. And that's really, really hard to do. And that to me is like where you guys, obviously the footage is amazing, but what you guys do with it afterwards, that's, I'm always like looking at, and I, being someone who likes this medium quite a lot, I'm always, I have to push myself back to my desk and go, wow, that is fucking fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And dude, it translates to the fans. They see that too. They may not be able to verbalize that, but they can go, man, the way they did Corey yelling and it kind of sent, it was like it went at the same time. I'm like, yeah, it's just post magic, but you guys do it really well.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's the fun after running around for 5 days to come back and look through it slower. And that's something, a huge part of the visuals that, is it's kind of obvious, but I'll state it. We are very fortunate to have such great subjects. I mean, so shooting this photo and video, we've got the Shiprockers, we've got the artists performing, we've got a cool venue, it's a fun vibe, it's vacation vibes. People have been looking forward to this all year. There's palm trees, sand. We have great subjects and subject matter to be shooting. So we are very fortunate. I said before that, like if someone complimented, you know, a video, it's like, it would take a Herculean effort to screw it up, no matter who shot it. I mean, you're dealing with such great ingredients. So you could have someone, if you had 10 different people shoot an event like this, you'd get 10 different vibes, 10 different looks on how they want to edit. But in the end, they're all going to be great, you know, because we're dealing with, I mean, we're very fortunate that that's a very nice part of what we're doing. It's fun. You know, dramatic lighting, all of it. It's awesome. But as far as editing, yeah, I mean, we go through a pretty extensive process and get it down. Like you mentioned the collar pop, audio is a huge part of every video. The transitions, it's all linked to the audio. It's a very important part of it. Down to, you know, the micro frame. And it's something I just learned over time. Being a drummer helps. Not always, though, because I didn't have a great meter when I played drums. but just to be aware of when you transition in and out of a scene and to go with the vibe of the music at that time. That's one of the really fun parts of editing a video. When you get to that point where you're just down to the microframes, just putting polishes on that.
The transitions, that's one that Justin mentioned. A couple of my favorites were, I think there were two different Papa Roach transitions that you've done that were really cool. There was the one from the theater, I forget which year. And then there was another one, I think, from this last time that they were on, where he kind of, you know, does this and the whole frame kind of goes up with it. I'm spacing which year it is. I forget the years.
Well, that in 19, yeah, when they headlined,
yeah,
which is great. And that was the year, you know, as far as Justin is how we go about editing, it's kind of different every year. There's some years I'll have like a list of ideas that I want to execute. And I just think of potential songs that might work for the soundtrack. And I'm like, I just, when I'm listening to the song, you know, in advance of Shiprocked, I'll just be, what am I seeing? And for example, I mean, to get real technical, it was before Shiprocked 2018. And I knew I really wanted to work in a section of this Nothing More song. and I was stoked that they were on. But their song Don't Stop. And I was listening and I'm like, well, I don't know when, if it'll be part of the big after movie or like the little short one we do right after the cruise is over. And it ended up being that one, the latter one. I took this section, this one little section of their song. It just had so much vibe. And I love the message of don't stop. And it just rocks. And it just gelled with everything that is Shiprock. And there's this part towards the end of the song where there's this, kind of the drums and cymbals come back in. There's just this whoosh sound at the very end of the song. And I was like, man, that would be really cool to get someone just like splashing the camera, like that whoosh sound. And I made this note, like, all right, when we go to the beach, we got to find someone to do that. And it ended up working, you know, its way into that little edit that we did. But then there's times when, and I believe it was 2019, the year you were talking about, Alan, where when Papa Roach was headlining and it was the Western theme. And I remember even though I'm not on any social media, like I'll read like comments just to see what's going on. I remember like a lot of Shiprockers from Texas were really saying, you know, we don't talk like that when we were playing up all the old West stuff, you know, with that theme that year. But I knew like this, there was going to be this like old West vibe. And I remember getting on Shiprock that year and didn't have a whole lot of ideas. But I wasn't worried because I knew we would just get, you know, a bunch of great footage as it always works out that way. But didn't really kind of formulate a plan until, we got home. And I remembered I had a buddy of mine who's like an Americana singer-songwriter. And he had told me, because I had done some favors for him, with visuals. And he said, man, if you ever need any music, just tell me. I'll be happy to do something for it. Let me help you in some way. And I was editing one day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this idea. And I took that, the Papa Roach song, Who Do You Trust? You know, it starts out real soft. Down, 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 down. And so I kept listening to that song and how we would start the video. And then I was like, wait, it's a Western theme. I was like, I called him. I said, I got something I need you to do. And I came over to his little home studio and I played him the riff and I had him play that riff on a dobro. And so, he sat there and he's like, down, 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 down. And so I remember running it by Alan. I was like, what do you think? What do you think? And I think the first version was really long. And you're like, well, like maybe shorten it up a little.
Well, because it had the cool graphics, though. That was the thing. It was like, yeah, you had a really great kind of zoom into this Western town. And it did feel like it dragged on a little bit too long, but it wasn't because of the dobro or anything else. It's just, I'm always thinking about the fans watching it and like, they want to get to the meat.
Yeah.
They don't like
And I was like, wait, they'll wait.
they don't like the foreplay. They want to just get in. But but it worked out great. I love that intro. I think it's one of the best.
It's one of those things that just worked out. It was fun.
One of the better intros.
Speaking of foreplay, you kind of brushed by it. You're a drummer.
Well, hang on. Before we get to the drummer thing, I have to say one thing about editing.
Okay. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Edit Chad. That out, Al.
So you mentioned the editing, and one thing I think, and Chris hasn't mentioned this, they start editing on the ship. that's what's crazy to me is that there's, and I don't know who it is on your team that's sitting there. My son who does video editing, and I was telling him about it. It's like your guy sits there and he's just like, I mean, he edits so fast. And so, I mean, and I usually, I guess it's for the little piece that we put out right after the cruise, but
yeah,
you guys are literally already thinking about editing ideas and things before you're even done. I mean, I think one time I came in production office and he was sitting there working on some little mini edit of some cool shot that you guys had gotten. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, we're working, you know, he's working up an edit. And I'm like, already?
Yeah.
So
in order to, yeah.
It's
so like,
awesome how quickly you guys get to it.
Thank you.
Again, yeah. A testament to how organized your team is and how thinking ahead and how much you guys care.
Yeah. Well, that we do. We care a lot.
Yes.
Yes. Faith okay, no more.
No.
It's because of the rhythm. You got to keep that rhythm and blues going on throughout the ship. So, with having that great of rhythm, is it because you're a drummer? Do you play drums? I heard you play drums. Tell us about your drum skills, bud.
I've never stopped drumming, but I drummed in, gosh, I started when I was about 11, started out on snare. And then I inherited my brother's kit because he didn't want to use it anymore. And that's really, can you imagine? That's how it all ended. Oh, Justin's back.
Hey, are you talking about marching band or high school band? Or because I played marching bass drum. Are you referring to snare just in school?
Yeah. Okay. So I started out on snare and then evolved into drum set. So by like seventh, eighth, ninth grade, I was doing anything with drums, like concert band, orchestra, symphonic band, jazz band. I only did 1 year of marching band and I played the triples.
Nice.
And I was in a rock band also, a cover band all through high school and had fun with that. But
what kind of covers are we talking about here?
We hard rock. Started out with,
let me get a peep into your soul, bud. Yeah. What kind of covers are we talking about here? We're talking about Dio or Winger.
We didn't do any Winger. Black Sabbath.
Gotcha.
Van Halen.
Satan worshiping shit. Gotcha.
UFO. We did UFO, Deep Purple,
okay.
Classic hard rock stuff, Led Zeppelin, yeah. Rush. We didn't do any Rush.
You're showing your age, Chris.
But I, yeah.
Give him the old Rush. You're a drummer, right? You don't want to play Rush.
Well, he's kind of the blonde. I mean, I've always thought Chris is kind of like the blonde Geddy Lee. I mean, that's what he always, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. You know who said that? One time it was on Motorhead's Motorboat, and we were doing the meet and greet photos, and I'm standing in front of, the band for an hour and
standing in front of God.
And Phil kept leaning over to Mickey and he was whispering something. He's staring at me and I'm like, what? I couldn't hear him. I'm like, what? He goes, you look a little bit like Geddy Lee. I was like,
nope. Okay. You'll always be Spicoli, man. That's it. You're just Spicoli, dude. That's it.
Like, I do. Do I look like Geddy Lee?
A little.
Chris has played, I think, is this of Ask For Staff. He's played the most times on Shiprocked as a drummer. Well, second to Al McManus.
True.
In terms of performing
live, he's torn it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys should just be in a band together right now. Two piece.
Well,
in a full on band. Like, quit your lives. Get in the van.
Hey, man. You know what? If local H can do it, these guys can do it.
Yeah.
So, Chris,
leave your family.
The drummer thing. So, you were telling us a story before we came on. A lot of people don't know is that you came on and you did Stowaways and you did Allman Brothers Whipping Post. Well, you were filling in for Shannon Larkin, who unfortunately couldn't make the cruise in the last minute. So, kudos to you for stepping in and filling in for Shannon. And now you can say that you bumped Shannon Larkin from his spot.
Yeah, right.
Put that on your business card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So you're still playing currently then?
But yeah, I still play now, but just for fun. I'll just throw on some headphones, play along to some music for, you know, just for a little escape.
That reminds me of the movie Empire Records, when the store owner who plays drums, have you seen the movie Empire Records?
No.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I won't bore you with the details, but essentially the boss of the store, the record store that they work at, every time he gets super pissed off at the young staff for stealing money or whatever, he goes into the back office, closes the door, shuts the blinds, and just hammers on some like drums with headphones.
Nice.
You should watch the movie. It's great.
Cool. I will.
Hey, Chris, one thing we have to bring up is that when people go into the meet and greet, they need to realize that you and your crew have been setting up the meet and greet. Setting up all the backdrops, the lighting, everything. And at times, I think now a lot of times the ship photography crew is taking over the assignment of shooting, right?
Depends on the year.
It depends
on the year. Yeah. They have to realize that you're in there for hours before setting that all up. It just doesn't happen. So again, kudos to your team and you for getting that all done, because it does run real smooth, or at least the best, you know, of our ability.
I mean, he does all this amazing photography and video work throughout the course of the ship, but then they have to go and shoot the meet and greets, which is, you know, point and click and point and click. And
yeah,
I mean, that's just,
I love it. I mean, I'll just refer to, it depends on the year. Sometimes that service is available. And, and because it's just like of this repetitive thing, you know, they can handle it. What's that?
It's what they do. I mean,
yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. So, but I've always enjoyed shooting the meet and greets. I would do that. I mean, it's fun.
It's your most relaxed time for sure.
It's so cool to watch people come in and, you know, meet the band they came there to see and watch the interaction and cement that moment for them. That's always, and I know it means a lot to a lot of ship rockers. It's an important part of the cruise.
Well, you touched on the word moment. I mean, that's really the meet and greets. I will tell you, I mean, statistically, we don't do a lot of guests in terms of, you know, how many guests go through to do meet and greets and how many total guests are on the ship. And it changes from year to year in terms of the numbers. And sometimes the lines are too long and people won't do it. I wish we could do it with every single guest and every single artist. But with 24 bands and over 3,000 people, it's just not logistic. We could do meet and greets all day, every day, and probably make sure everybody got a picture with their favorite band. But that's not what the cruise is about. We offer it, and we're happy to. But you do get to witness those moments where, you know, those fans who were most excited and most wanting to go and to meet the artist and to have their picture made. And, you know, we try to offer that too, so that they're not having a bum rush artist all day, you know, through the course of the cruise. But it's, again, just getting back to the charm and to the whole thing about Shiprocked. It's about the fans. I mean, it's really about giving them the opportunity to have those moments, you know, with the artists that they love and with each other. And so it's cool that you get to witness that.
Yeah,
so let me bring this up.
We all see it in different places throughout the course of the cruise, each cruise, but you're really, you know, it's under a microscope right there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of fans, Chris, you mentioned earlier, and Alan can chime on this too. Are they going to be expecting any more short films or clips that they're going to have from 2020?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll just kind of drop those during the year.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah, there's one coming here pretty quick, I think. We had some footage that we were waiting on from a guest, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
Chris, now we're going to enter the part of the show, Walk the Plank.
Walk the plank.
Where Chad and I, and usually a fan, will ask the third question, but this time we're going to give it to Alan to ask his own question. It's not related to anything we've been talking about. It's sometimes very esoteric. It makes you look into your soul, and that's what we want from you. So we're going to let Chad ask the first question.
Wow. Hey, man. So question one. What is it that you complain about the most?
Probably ask him.
Ask him. Oh, man. What do I complain about the most?
Don't be shy.
Ah.
Sounds complainy already.
Yeah, exactly.
question. Questions, man.
These random questions. What do I complain about? I mean, probably about people not being kind. I don't know.
It says a lot about your character.
I probably complain about that.
That makes total sense. Chris, for those who don't know, I mean, you can't tell this video, Chris is probably one of the nicest. I think he's Canadian. He really is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. There's not a mean negative bone in his body. Every time I've ever sat down with Chris and shared time with Chris, he's just been, he's pleasant. He's nice. He's Canadian.
Thank you.
Chris, you fuck, man, for real. Like, your whole energy is straight up fucking. You're awesome.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you.
Yeah. Good answer, by the way. I'm going to hand the mic back over to Justin.
All right. Chris.
All right.
How would you define integrity?
Integrity.
How would you define it?
Without Google, right?
No, let's get your DuckDuckGo version of it.
Someone that has integrity.
What's it mean to you? Doesn't have to be about what you think it is.
It means loyalty, honesty. Always focused on what is right. What's for the greater good. Integrity.
The answer is Chris Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Anyone who will point out that where there is a wrong being done, like that it should be I don't know, not stopped or attacked or anything, but I mean just someone's always looking out for the greater good, honesty, loyal. Yeah, I like those.
Okay. Chris, if I was to sum you up on integrity, there's many things about your character. I think it's delivering on what you promised.
Thank you.
And that obviously your work is one of the things. I mean, you, I don't think you overpromise, but you always overdeliver. So yeah, that's to me when I think about your work ethic, that's something I always think about.
Yeah. Chris has one of the best work ethics of anybody I know. And I think that, I mean, like I said earlier, he cares. I mean, he shows up, he gives a shit. He wants to make sure it's right. You know, he will work. I mean, you and I have had many conversations during editing where we find, pick and tune and whatever. And you, it doesn't matter. You'll make it right. You know, you'll like, no, I want to go back and fix this one little thing. So he really does care, and he really does work hard, and he's an amazing part of our family and part of our crew, and you know, not just with Shiprocked. I mean, he's worked with us on all of our cruises. He's worked all the Ashford cruises. He's worked all the motorboat cruises, the Chip Hop, and our sports cruises that we've done. So he's he's an incredible human being, and we're blessed to have him as part of our team.
Wow.
So do I get a question?
You do. You get to make your own question.
I'm going to keep it cruise centric because I can't think of anything else. This is all I think about. But of all the cruises that we've done together, of the Shiprock cruises, motorboat, the sports cruises, what is your, and this may not be an easy thing to answer, and I don't think I've ever asked you this, but what is your most memorable moment? What is your all-time favorite? The thing that just immediately sticks out in your brain is this was the one of the coolest, best, most awesome, or maybe worst. I don't know. But what is the biggest, best memory you have of working on our events? There's a lot, man. I know.
And I think I've thought about, and I've been asked like, what's been your favorite one? You know, that's among Shiprockers too. That's a popular question or a popular discussion. And there's just, gosh, there's just so many. There's so many great, every year is great. I mean, there's just, it's, and every year has special moments. But I'm going to lean towards one, and it's kind of corny, but in a way I think it's perfect. It was Shiprock 2016, and that year was really special for several reasons, visually related. And there was just some of my favorite moments were from that year. I don't know. It had to do with the theme nights, some great interaction with band members and the Shiprockers. But I have favorites from every single cruise. But I guess the moment that sticks out is it happened during the 80s theme night. And I've said this so many times that theme night was just out of control.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just gotten bigger and funnier and better over the years, because you just, you know, oh, that, it just, everything magnifies when you're looking, you know, the further you get from it. But there was that 80s band,
Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And so I remember I ran up to get some footage, and I was on like the kind of the back of the stage trying to shoot some of the activity of the band and the crowd. And I think RJ Hale had come up to play Hot for Teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a big Pillsbury Doughboy inflatable in the back of the stage. Right. There was just, but anyhow, the moment was the looking out into the deck crowd with all of these outfits. And there was Mork and Mindy, there was Alf, there was Cheech and Chong,
mm-hmm.
there was Strawberry Shortcake, there was a giant Smurf head.
Oh, there were lots of Smurfs on that.
Oh my God. Some people were painted, and then yeah. some had one dude had a giant Smurf head. I remember Wayne was dressed as Mr. T.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'm looking out into the crowd, and there's like it in all my years shooting, there's been a couple moments when I forgot where I was, and I got lost in the moment.
Yeah.
With no bad intention, but I literally just forgot. But I was sneaking out on stage a bit, and this cover band was just all about having fun. They didn't care. We could just walk right out. And I just was drawn to the crowd. I wanted to get a quick wide shot of the entire crowd, just shooting out into the sea of just craziness, because they're jumping and singing along to the music. And so I kind of tiptoe out. And somewhere along that way, I forgot where I was. And I went downstage center, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking through my camera, taking a photo, and I'm just staring, just smiling, like, oh my gosh. And I take another one, and I'm just like, I was just lost. And
the man behind you.
And next thing you know, there's someone next to me singing, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you? And it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, I'm standing front and center downstage while this band's performing, just looking at photos. And I was like,
awesome though. Oh, you got lost for the moment. That's great, man. That's, I mean, and, that's, I love
nobody
that.
Cared.
No, nobody cared because I mean, everybody is lost in the moment. That's the, I'd love that, man. I mean, I could go off on a whole thing about passion and like artists being in the zone and fans being in the zone, and you were in the zone, and I love that. And I will tell you that one of I will, no diss to Shiprock, but I think my fondest memory of all the cruises we've done, you were a part of. And it was on Motorboat when we presented them with their 40th anniversary cake.
Yep.
And Lemmy came around to cut the cake. And he had this huge grin on his face. Yeah. And I'm like, no one, Lemmy doesn't smile. God doesn't smile. And to this day, I was like, holy shit, we made God smile.
That's cool. I remember that.
It was such a cool moment. And you were standing right there taking all the pictures. I think you were in front. You might have been behind or to the side. I forget. But that moment where we brought that cake up and you were like, we got to make sure we get all this. Because it was, you know, I mean, it was what, a month before he died or two, a month and a half or something before he died.
Yeah.
And yeah. I love that we were able to have that, you know, I was just standing off to the side watching you were capturing the whole thing. And yeah, I love that you were able to capture a moment where he's, you know, a couple times on that cruise, I think, where he smiled.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one, Alan. Good moment.
We made God smile, Chad.
That's so cool. But I mean, your story about what you just described and how Alan summed it up is perfectly getting lost in that moment. You know, I don't know if you ever, it sounded to me like you might have just had like a momentary acid flashback. I don't know if you ever did any of that shit.
I said he probably peaked.
Yeah,
it wasn't the half the Wilson halftime show. I can tell you that.
But seriously, that's a lost in a moment thing. I think we've all had them here. If you're listening, you definitely have it because you're listening to the Shiprock podcast. But here on this specific episode, I can't even count on 10 fingers how many times that's happened. But there's always that one, right? So those are great answers, Chris. Thanks for being here. That's
incredible. My pleasure. Thank you. It's good to see you guys. This is fun.
So, Chris, one last question before we tie this up and let you get back to your life. Anything Shiprockers in the future can do to get your attention and get a photo? What can they do? How do you choose which Shiprockers you're getting photos of? They do anything special?
No. I actually do like when someone, we've been stopped before where someone said, hey, I've never been in the after movie. I've never been in the recap. And it's like, okay, well, let's do it right now. Let's, you know, whether it's just flash some horns or I remember one time we were on the beach. Someone said, hey, we've never been. Okay, you are now. And I'll remember it. So I guess. If you want, just wave, let us know.
Simple as that. All right.
Yeah. Just say, okay. Hey.
Can't give them all 3,000 of them, but we can always try.
Yeah. So if you see Chris, say hey.
Yeah.
Anyway, any last words, guys? Any last words, Alan? Anyone? Chad?
No, man. I thanks, Chris, dude, seriously, for everything. You know,
it's a pleasure. It's been a fun ride, man. This is just to watch what you started, and you know, you and Justin and I had talked about this before, where it's just how this thing has just grown, and to witness it and be a part of a team, because there's a lot of people busting butt on this and have been for a long time. We have a great team of people, and just to watch it grow to what it's become has been. It's been fun, and it's been an honor to be a part of. Yeah, and it's been great. I appreciate the trust, Alan. I mean,
oh, dude, I trust you implicitly. I mean, one of the things that's really great about our team, you especially, but everybody is, everybody enjoys what they do, even if they're just our temporary staff for the season or whatever. But here's the thing, it doesn't suck. what we do doesn't suck.
Well,
you know, every year is different. Every year has its own personality. Every year has its own thing. And so in that way, it keeps it fresh for us. But it's always fun. it's a shit ton of work. I mean, Jesus, we all work our asses off, especially Chris. I was honestly, of all our crew, production, probably stage production works, you know, as hard as Chris does. Although I think Chris probably works harder, but he, you know, I mean, he shows up and he gives a shit and he has fun doing it because none of this sucks.
None of it sucks.
Man. Get to go on cruises and watch bands and go.
If I can be so bold, I think you might have just came up with a new Making Waves theme. It doesn't suck. Making Waves. Shipwreck Podcast.
Speaking of, guys, tonight's episode didn't suck. So thank you again, everyone, for checking us out. Make sure, guys, if you check out Making Waves, subscribe to us. And that way you never miss an episode and tell all your friends about us. Let's keep growing this thing. Again, we want to thank Chris Bradshaw for joining us tonight. Woo-hoo. And we'll look forward to some of his other output coming up here, guys. We'll get some stuff out there for you. Keep everyone excited. Keep everyone engaged. For myself and Chad, and thank you, Alan, the captain, tonight for joining us. This is a really great surprise. We want to thank the rest of the staff here. We want to thank our producer, Al McManus, our engineer, Jen Zito, our coordinator, Heather Smith, as well, for making this thing happen weekly. Cabins are still available, so go to shiprock.com. Also, check out the merch we have available for 2022. And we'll be back next week with a new episode. And look for this to drop this coming Monday. So check it out. You guys tonight got an earful of how the video and photography team works. So thank you again, Chris. Chad, Alan, have a great weekend, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.